Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. It's great to be gathered together this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament today. We're blessed to be together here on this first Sunday of the season of Lent. Lent began on Wednesday night this past week on Ash Wednesday, and we continue through the season as we learn what the Lord would have us know about ourselves, and more importantly, about Him and what He's done for us. So we're blessed this morning. Thanks for joining us. We also welcome those who are tuning in on the radio on KSPK this morning. Thanks for tuning in and being a part of our service that way. Our opening hymn for today is hymn 561, The Tree of Life. And we do invite the congregation to please stand on the last verse of the hymn. Let's sing together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
Have mercy upon
the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning on the first Sunday of Lent comes from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden." But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our epistle reading from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now for our reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our hymn of the day now, hymn 657, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." Reading from the book of 1 John in the third chapter. "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. The word of the Lord from the book of 1 John. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lesson this morning coming from 1 John chapter 3. Here's verse 11 one more time. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now we all know that love is an important thing. It holds our lives together. It holds our families together. It holds our church together. But love is kind of a confusing subject in our world, right? We'll say that we love our spouse if we have one, that we love our parents, that we love our children if we have them, our siblings if we have them. But we'll also say that we love pizza, or a sports team, or a certain color. We'll say, I love the way your hair looks. Love describes our relationships with a whole spectrum of things in life, inanimate objects and people alike. We'll also say, I love God. It's the most confusing and reductionary reality, at least in the English language, love, I mean. So long and short of it, we need help to accurately understand what love is and how to do it. And that's what the text from 1 John does for us this morning. Listen to the Apostle John in verse 12. He says, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. John helps us understand love better by giving us an example of what love isn't. Love is not jealousy. Love is certainly not hatred or envy or murder. And it's not just the Apostle John that tells us about love. Of course, our Lord Jesus also does. And he's the only one who can teach us exactly how to love each other and what love is. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. So we know, love isn't taking things for ourselves or treating someone kindly so we can gain something from them. A lot of relationships, if they're examined, that's what's really going on in the hearts of the people. Someone being nice to someone else just to get something, just to gain something for themselves. And we certainly know that we can't hate someone and love them at the same time. No, hating them would just show that we don't love them, that we don't really know love as it comes from our Lord. Now we all have people that frustrate us and people that drive us plain crazy. Everyone has those people in their lives. What does God command us to do? He commands us to love them. What does our old nature that Adam and Eve bought for us in the Garden of Eden want to do with them? Wants to avoid them. It wants to be annoyed by them. It hates them. And it'll all find all kinds of reasons not to love, not to obey the commandment. You know Cain's murder of Abel? That example that John used in his discourse on love in our text. In it, Cain's murder of Abel actually began in his heart while Abel was still alive and walking around. Not just in the outward actions of slaying his brother was he murdering him, but in his heart. It's the same for us, brothers and sisters. The thoughts of hatred, those little thoughts even of annoyance and frustration, and did you see how that person is? That's murder beginning in our hearts. Murder! Now maybe you're thinking, calm down, Pastor, please. I'm not planning to murder anybody, okay? Yes, we are. That's exactly what the scriptures are telling us. We just murder people differently, right, than Cain did. We're way smarter than that. We ghost them. We cut them out of our lives. We avoid them. One of my favorite sayings over the years has been, you know, people are not disposable. But we find new and unique ways to dispose of people all the time. Simply because we don't like them. And we feel perfectly justified in doing it. In fact, it's part of the major self-help movement in the United States. We should not feel justified according to God. It means that we're murderers. That's what it says. We know how to act righteous on the outside, who to put the smile on for, but what's going on in here? Listen to verse 10. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Okay, well, we can work on practicing some righteousness. But then he says, nor is the one of God who does not love his brother, or we could say his sister. Aha! We're caught. He knows what's going on in here. We're caught. John is teaching us in this text a new way to live, a new way to think. The Spirit of God is leading us in a new life by his word, one where we instantly recognize the sin and death at work in us and how dangerous those tiny thoughts are. How do we do this? It's very practical. When the frustrated, jealous, annoyed, angry, hatred thoughts pop up in our hearts towards our neighbors, when we think we have a good enough reason to say, I'm done with that person. Look what they did. Did you hear what they said? Are we off the hook with God's command? Answer, no. We're not. The scriptures are teaching us a better way. And it's not just an outward righteousness, not a hypocritical parade, the whole whitewashed facade things that all of us are good at. Those who live with us in our homes, hang on, they know exactly what you think about every person in this room. They hear often those little thoughts in the heart. They do. They hear it. They know it. The scriptures are giving us a better way. Together. A better way. Love one another. Jesus said that these two things fulfill all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But the world, see, this is the issue. The world all around us is giving us examples all the time of the opposite. It's lust and greed of gain among us that's often masked as love and caring. And we learn quickly. And adapt. John says this in verse 13 of our text. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you? In other words, not so surprised that it sways you to confusion about love. He goes on, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. He's letting you and me know that when those unloving thoughts in our hearts appear towards others, it's not okay. It's actually a danger and a grave warning about something wrong in here. We need to abide in love, he says. But here's where the quinky-dink happens. We say, but I can't just make myself love people, Pastor. Some people I just can't deal with. They just infuriate me. How am I supposed to love them? I don't feel love towards them at all. Well, then we have to ask the question. Where does the Bible command us to feel love? It doesn't command us that. Feelings don't guide us. God's word guides us. Feelings are just a term that we talk about to justify idolatrous living, where we're our own God and we do what we say. God commands us to love. It's a verb, it's not a feeling. It makes me think, why do we always want our actions to follow our feelings like that? What's so cool about that? What's so great? Well, it's the easy way. It's the wide road. It's the wide path that leads to destruction. But God commands us to love, and you remember Jesus' words, even our enemies, he says we ought to love. Those who sin against us. It shows us plainly, it really, really does, that God is not that concerned about us feeling love in our hearts before we love people. He's not. He knows if we trust in God and lean not on our own understanding, or we could insert, if we wanted to, I think, in this context, feelings, then we'll actually learn what love is. We'll learn a different way. We'll learn a new way. And he wants to teach us. He wants to teach us this morning. He said, love one another. This is Jesus' words. As I have loved you. Like Jesus did. How do we do that? That's the reason there's a huge cross hanging up in our sanctuary, or one of them. That's the reason there's a cross with a corpus on it right by the pulpit. How do we do that? Jesus in John 15, verse 12 to 14. This is my commandment. He says that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. In context, if you love one another, you are his friend. Jesus shows us real, unconfusing love. Where? At the cross, where he laid down his life for us. But then he commands us to do the same. Real love, it will often speak truth. It has to. But real love is never nasty about it. We can say the truth in a kind way. We can speak the truth in love, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 4. It's never nasty. Jesus told his disciples, if anybody wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. How then do we lay down our lives? How then do we follow Jesus? We deny ourselves. We pick up our crosses. What are those? How do we do this? How do we love? Listen to the Apostle John again, verse 15 and 16. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. This is the new way, the way of our Lord. And he blesses us with a chance to do this every single day of our lives. We're surrounded by people all the time. Will we love them? Will we lay down ourselves for them, even though they might not deserve it at all, even for one second? Can we follow our Lord like this? Can we receive the forgiveness he bought for us by repenting over our unloving actions, words, and thoughts? Turning away from them, truly trying a different way, trying again? Or will we justify them? Saying, no way I'm ever going to love or forgive that person. It doesn't matter what they did to you, friend or enemy, God still commands love one another. And it's a great way, actually, to see or measure how proud we actually are. If someone has offended you, can you love that person again? If they've really hurt you, it feels impossible. Then we're starting to see the truth about ourselves. To the level that it feels impossible, that's how huge our pride is. Simple as that. We're not justified in erasing people out of our lives. Ever. God put them there. Jesus wants us to square up with ourselves on this. This is the part of us. The unloving, proud, self-defense, Cain-like part of us that precisely needs to die to pick up its cross and lose its life. But how? Well, based on what John and Jesus tell us, that we should love one another, even those who drive us nuts, sin against us, hurt us, even our enemies, we finally admit, this is how we get there, right? This is what Jesus is showing us. Those people are not the problem with our inability to love them. We are. That's what he wants us to see. That's how he helps us. That's how he saves us. We see our sin and how huge and massive our pride is only by God's word. And then we repent. We repent in tears for who we've been and how we've treated other people that, according to the Apostle James, were made in the image of God. And how does God respond to all this? What's his verdict towards us for this behavior? Hey, he loves us. There's no problem with him. So he forgives us. And we remain safe in his arms throughout the whole thing. He doesn't ghost us. He doesn't avoid us. He doesn't hold a grudge against us. Not at all. If you're thinking that, stop thinking that. It's not true. He sticks with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He wants us to learn true love from him. We're not going to be perfect at it, but he wants us to learn it. He wants us to live in it, to recognize the unloving thoughts that spring up in our hearts and take them captive immediately by God's word, recognizing they're not from God. They're murder in our hearts. He wants us to love based on his command and not on our feelings, trusting in him the way his love was displayed for us at the cross. It puts to death the old flesh, and it resurrects a new life to love, to truly love one another, the love of Jesus at work in us. Now, this is just a practical tip. I'm almost done. And you can take it for what it's worth, okay? But it's from a pastor, obviously, that's me, who struggles with this every day and repents every day for it too, just like you. This is life, right? Imagine if you could stare into the eyes of your Lord. If you could look him right in the eyes. Just imagine that in your mind with me for a second. What would they look like? Then when God provides us an opportunity, look into the eyes of the person that you're honestly, if you're honest with yourself, hating in your heart. And see someone that the Lord has made. See your Lord even. The Word of God made flesh, staring back at you through their eyes. Hey, he created them, and he works through them too. We're all his children. He sees us all the same. And then may we be filled with true love and compassion. May he empower us to forgive and love and see the people that our hearts want to hate the way our Heavenly Father sees them. His little children, the way he sees you and me. Look in their eyes and see his love for them and for you. This is the power of God at work through his word and love. We end with the words of the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own ways. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We now come to our time for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. O Lord, you sought Adam and Eve in the garden and called them to repentance. Seek us when we wander from you in your holy word and give us contrite hearts to confess our sins and receive the forgiveness and restoration you promise us. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, your Son trampled the serpents underfoot and freed us from sin and death by his own death on the cross. Protect and preserve all who you've called into the faith, each of us as members of your church on earth. And protect those who preach Christ and him crucified in our world. Command your angels, we pray, to guard us all in our ways and to bear us up in your love and care for the sake of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you created the home as a place where we are brought up in the ways of truth, goodness, mercy, and love. Sustain parents in their sacred charge and grant that our homes would be places of confession and forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have established earthly authorities to punish evil and praise those who do good. Grant our rulers humble hearts to resist the allure of power and greed and to worship you alone. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to suffer temptation for our sake. Lord, strengthen us when we are tempted. And teach us to rely upon your word as our defense against the evil one. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, send your holy angels to protect and keep us in your ways, that no evil may befall us. Graciously behold the needy, those who are sick or troubled, and those who have requested our prayers. We name before you today Mike and Marilyn Willett, Carolyn Jerry, Rita Allen, Sandy Cody, Mona Hauser, Billy Clonch and Missy, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, satisfy us with long life and healing according to your will, and show us your salvation, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, you covered the shame of our first parents with animal skin, and thereby foreshadowed the perfect sacrifice of the shedding of your Son's blood, by which we are cleansed and clothed. Give us the garments of repentance and faith, that we may receive your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us a refuge from this world in the body of Christ. Protect us from all evils of body and soul, that we would find rest in this life and eternal rest in your heavenly embrace. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service when we have the opportunity to give back to the Lord a portion of the things that he's blessed us with in our time of tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we invite you to turn to hymn 655. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
Thank you.
you've been joining us on the radio, we thank you for tuning into our service today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. If you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn to page 8 in your bulletin. And if the congregation would please stand now for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg.